I'm reading from the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. Book of Hosea. Hosea is one of the minor prophets. You know, the prophets broken down into major and minor prophets. The major prophets are four: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And then you have the 12 minor prophets. They're not minor in their content. Their messages are just as powerful as the major prophets. Reason they're referred to as major prophets because the major prophet books are longer. There's more material there. And the minor prophets are shorter. So Hosea is one of the minor prophets. There are 12 of them. And he is the first one in the lineup of the minor prophets. But I'm looking at this tonight because of the unusual command that God makes of this prophet. That is hard to understand why God would make such a command or command his prophet to do what he commanded him to do. And we'll get to that, but let's read the scripture, chapter 1. Chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came with Hosea, the son of Beriah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. Watch this command now. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lerubbaal, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lerubbaal, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now turn over to chapter 3, and we'll read five verses there. Then said the Lord unto me, it is Hosea talking, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took to other gods and loved flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, and without sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So we see a prophet, God's preacher, God's mouthpiece, God's prophet to the people of Israel. And he's there preaching to the people of Israel. And then God says to this prophet, his preacher, his mouthpiece, he says, go and marry a prostitute. Go and marry a prostitute and have children with her. Now, that has caused a lot of head scratching on the part of students of the Bible, part of theologians, professors. What in the world can God mean commanding his prophet who is preaching his word to go and marry a prostitute? Why would he do that? It has raised a lot of questions. And I've asked a question myself, and I still don't know all the answers. But why would a pure and holy and righteous God command his prophet to do such a thing, to marry an immoral prostitute? You know, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together. Well, how could you be any more unequally yoked together than a prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God, yoked together with a prostitute? Well, that's what was going on here. But God said, go do it. And I asked that question, why would he do it? Then the second question that I've asked myself, and yes, I asked in general, why? We know that he went and did it and he married. But why would a prostitute want to marry a preacher? Why would a prostitute want to marry a man of God who was preaching against such things? And yet he was told to go marry her. Why would she want to do that anyway? Why would she want to be a preacher's wife? It's a good question, isn't it? You know, I've given that some thought. And my thinking is, now, this prostitute, Gomer, the men that were using her were just using her. She didn't mean anything to them as a person. They just was out to her for their self-gratification. And she knew that they didn't care for her. She knew that. But what do you think would happen to her when a man came up to her and proposes to her and says to this prostitute, I'm not like these other men. I'm here to propose to you, to ask you to be my wife. Ooh, my goodness, Now, wouldn't that blow her mind to have a God's mouthpiece, a preacher, prophet of God, to come and ask her to marry him? But he did. And you know what? She accepted. She married him. And he had children. Well, a third question that I have is, why would Hosea consent to going to marry a prostitute? Why would he do that? Well, we know why. He was just obeying God. But, you know, there's no indication at God's command to this prophet, there's no indication that he said, now, Lord, wait a minute. You know what you're doing? No indication he balked at all. The indication only went and did it. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac, how God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and go up and offer him up, take his life. And Abraham, there's no indication in Scripture that indicated that Abraham balked at that, or he questioned God. He just went. And so it seems that's what happened here with Hosea. Because he just had enough faith in God to believe that God wouldn't make no mistakes. And if God said do it, I'll do it. Just like Abraham said, if God says do it, I'm going to do it. Why did he do it? The best answer I can give is that God is God and not man. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God did I don't understand. There are times when God would command his people to go and destroy a nation and destroy all the people, every one of them, all the women, all the children, and all the cattle. Destroy everything. That was his command. Now, I don't understand that. And there were times whenever I remember one time he opened up the earth and just swallowed up a bunch of people. I don't understand that. He is God and not man. And I can't know as much as God. No way I can know as much as him. So I say, God, you know what you're doing. And so he knew what he was doing whenever he told his prophet to go marry a prostitute. He's God and not man. But then as you read in the book of Hosea, you will find that Hosea's actions of marrying this prostitute was a sermon in action. It was a sermon for the people of God. It was a sermon for the people of Israel. Because you see, the people of Israel had gone after other gods. God calls it in his word, whoredoms. They've gone after other gods. They've left him and gone after other gods. And so God is using Hosea and his marriage to Gomer to say to the people of Israel, I know you've gone after other gods, but I love you still. I love you. Even though you are going that way, I love you. And he's using Hosea in his marriage to say to the people, even though she's a prostitute, she needs love, need to be loved. And I love her. And so he goes and he marries her. But then the inevitable happened. You see, God knew this marriage wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to last. But he said, go marry her anyway. And here again is a sermon in what happens. She left him. She left him. Had three children, and she left him. You remember I told you about a professor I had in seminary, Old Testament professor, Dr. Leo Green. And we going along in the Old Testament, we got to the minor prophets and got to Hosea. And Dr. Green, now this is not in the scriptures, but Dr. Green pictures it as what could might have happened. And he was very good at it. And he said it, maybe it was something like this. He said, Hosea went out to work one morning, no doubt prophesying, preaching. And he came home late in the day, but Gomer was gone. His wife was gone, and the children were there. And she left a note on the table telling him that she didn't want to be a preacher's wife no more. And so she left. Now, that's happening today more than ever, I think. There are a lot of preachers' wives, pastors' wives, no longer want to be a pastor's wife. They are tired of that kind of living. And so they no doubt give their husband an ultimatum. We're going to get out of it, or I'm leaving, and many are leaving the pastors today. They just don't want to be a pastor's wife. I have to put in a plug for mine. She, whenever God called me to preach, back in 1962, I told her that on Sunday afternoon, and her words were, if God has called you, and you're going to preach, I'll follow you wherever you go. Wherever he leads you, I'll go with you. And there she is. She's been following me around for many years, and I'm just grateful for that. I'm just grateful. It's made this position, this job, a lot easier for her to continue to be a pastor's wife. There's been some time, I'm sure she wish she hadn't made that that kind of statement, but she hung in there. But anyway, Gomer left, and Dr. Green said maybe Hosea give the children a bath, put them to bed, and then took his place by the window, looking, see if Gomer was coming back. But she didn't come back. And so day after day, he looked for her to come back. But she didn't. And Hosea continued preaching. He continued on with the work that God had called him to do. So we could learn from Hosea that we should and can serve God in the midst of family problems. It's not easy. It's not easy, but God requires us to be faithful, and Hosea was faithful. Don't know how long they were separated. Don't know how long Gomer was gone. But chapter 3, the verses we read there, tells us something about Hosea and Gomer getting back together. Listen, verse 1 of chapter 3 said, "The Lord said unto me, Go, yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley." Dr. Green goes on. Someone says to Hosea one day, "Hosea, your wife, Gomer, is down at the slave market. She's going to be auctioned off or sold." And Hosea took 15 pieces of silver, which is half the price of a slave, and 45 bushels of barley. And he goes down to the slave market, and he sees a most pitiful sight. There is his wife, this prostitute, Gomer, standing there, clothes tattered and torn, her hair matted and tangled, dirty looking, disheveled, and everything. She didn't look pleasing at all. And at this time, it seemed nobody wanted Gomer. And Hosea said, "I took my silver, my barley, what I had, and I bought her. It seemed no one else there offered to buy her, but Hosea did. He says, she's my wife. She's somebody owned a slave, and I want her back, and I buy her back." And so he did. And you notice that the Lord says, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. The Lord is using Hosea's married life to point out how he loves his people, even though they are going after other gods, turning their backs on him. The love of God keeps going out to them. And we can see that in the cross. Oh, you see, the Bible says we were all once sinners, lost and undone. And there was no one that could deliver us from the bondage of sin. No one, not ourselves. We were on the slave market of sin without any escape. And God says, "I love you. You've been rebelling against me, been sinning against me, but I love you, and I will pay the price to deliver you, to buy you from that slave market of sin." And so he paid for us with his son, with his son's blood, with his sacrifice on the cross. He paid for us, and therefore through faith in him we are delivered from the slave market of sin. So God is using Hosea, and you see it. She was once his wife, just like the people of Israel once God's loving people. They loved him, but they don't no more. And you know, we as Christians can go astray. We can become wayward and get away from him. And yet he still holds out his hands of love for us and says, I want you back. I know you've done me wrong. I know you've sinned against me. I know you've gone after other gods. But I want you back. I love you. The price has been paid. You come back to me. God is so good. You remember the story of the prodigal? How way out he went. But what happened when he came back? They pitched a party, the father did. Glad to see him back. And whenever we leave and come back, he's glad to see us back. February is a love month, and we see a beautiful picture of the love of God here in this prophet. In his life. And the people of Israel could see through Hosea's life, especially in his marriage and at breakup, how that Hosea loved Gomer, and God says, I love my people. And with greater love than that. We can never fathom the love of God. We're going to sing our hymn of commitment, number 321, Savior's Waiting. We give you an opportunity to come. You may feel the need of rededicating your life to God or even coming to Jesus. Remember, he died for you and loves you. Let us sing, please.